Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and welcome to an Anfield Index special, ladies and gents. Arne Slot, the new name, the new man, the new head coach. So all reports indicate that Liverpool are in negotiations with Feyenoord with a fee of approximately £9 million being negotiated. We'll have to see what that ends up with. And like every Liverpool fan, ladies and gents, we're trying to get the download on Arne Slot, are we? What's the man? What's the tactics? What could he bring to this role? So where does it make sense to go? It makes sense to go to a Dutch football expert, doesn't it? So we go to a man we know, the man from Football Orange, Michael Statham. Michael, how are we?
Yeah, good, thanks. It's great to see this brilliant manager doing something else with, now that he's done well with Feyenoord. What's he got next? And it looks like Liverpool.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I'm sure you're getting lots of requests to find out info about it. So we want to get straight into this. I mean, if you think about, for us, Jurgen Klopp, a big personality, a big character in the game. So probably the place to start we wanted to ask is Arne Slot and his character. What's his personality like? How would you describe the man himself?
He has charisma. And when you look at sort of Dutch football clips in the media and the news, you often see like little clips of him getting interviewed and he's giving like his thoughts on a decision, thoughts on a goal, thoughts on a player. And he's open to doing that. I feel like he's never hot-headed or badly tempered. That never comes out, but you can see he's passionate, and if he disagrees with something he will tell you calmly. And I think he's translating that to his players, in that he'll put an arm around them, he'll share the same emotions, delighted when they are, but also disappointed when they are. And the way that he's been able to have this connection with fans, players, he is regarded as one of the best managers Feyenoord have ever had, certainly in the most recent history, for being successful, but also the style of football that they were craving for so long until he came.
Yeah, it seems interesting because, again, this might be from the outside, so you could correct us here. It feels like he's almost made Feyenoord one of a big three, because it's always been seen as Ajax. I know they've had their struggles recently, and PSV, who are top of the league, and people have looked at that as Slot plays this 4-2-3-1, and there's very much a focus on pressing at the same time. Would you say that's true, or would you say that's almost simplifying it too much?
Sort of two parts to that. I think the first bit is he has made Feyenoord fans proud to be Feyenoord fans again after having this dominance from Ajax in recent history. Of course, they've gone downhill massively. They've taken their position there, that perch of being, you know, this really successful, massive Dutch club now. Yeah. PSV doing well as well. How long that lasts, we'll see. But I feel like Feyenoord, it's sustainable, what they've been able to create, the players there, the culture at the club. And you asked there about, could you repeat the second part of the question?
Oh, in terms of the 4-2-3-1 and the pressing element.
4-2-3-1. Yeah, pressing particularly, you said. Yeah, they are. The stat is that out of the top seven leagues, Feyenoord have the most turnovers in possession because they're always pressing so high. Second place is Liverpool. The way that Feyenoord play is demanding. It is a high press. It's one of the things Arne Slot was known for at AZ Alkmaar, as now as well as Feyenoord. He demands that, gets him really hard at the pitch. When you look at his teams, actually the plays he puts out, it looks a little bit reserved, but he's actually really well known for an attacking style by pushing everyone's side at the pitch. Yeah, he demands a lot of pressing, that is for sure.
Wow. And I suppose that the CV, as it kind of alluded to there, because he's got a Dutch title, he's got the cup, and I suppose there is a suspicion that if I'm reading about it, and you can correct us again if we're wrong, that if COVID hadn't have hit, he would have got the title with Alkmaar as well. So is he seen in Dutch football as a guy that does win the big prizes that way?
Yeah, it all started in 2017, I think it was. Cumber in the Dutch second tier. He took them over in his sort of first coaching role and took them from mid-table to nearly getting promoted to the Eredivisie. And they got to the semi-finals of the Dutch Cup that year as well, being in the second tier, which is a massive achievement when you consider the difference between the top and the second Dutch tiers. It's nothing like the Premier League and the Championship. The gap is much wider. After that, he was an assistant coach at RZ for a little while, pulled some strings there with their style of play, then became head coach. Yeah, he's in his one full season as RZ head coach. He finished second tied with Ajax, but the season never resumed after COVID, unlike most of the leagues. But they were widely favoured to go on and do it because they were beating the top teams. And that was what was making a difference for them. Yeah, I was gutted because it felt like that was going to be the one that really turn the tide a little bit in Dutch football, as they're doing it. And then I think a story that's quite popular about Slot is that he was sacked as RZ head coach the season after because he was talking to Feyenoord kind of behind RZ's back. That kind of tarnished his reputation a little bit. Me as well, I actually thought at the time, wow, that's a little bit dirty. Why would you do that? You were doing so well with RZ. But it turned out for the better. He did end up taking over as Feyenoord head coach. Like you said, successful Conference League final in his first season, rebuilding the team once or twice to get back to that position again, winning the Dutch League, winning the Dutch Cup now as well. And this season, I think people have to realise Feyenoord, yes, the second, they're way off the points total of PSV. But actually, in a normal season, Feyenoord have enough points to win the league. And they've been very strong this season. No downgrade on last season at all. So he has kept up the standards there. And he's sort of been a bit unlucky, really. He was unlucky in Europe too, with the way they got knocked out penalties in the Europa League. He's got pedigree. Albeit it has all been in the Netherlands. You said he's successful in the Netherlands, wins big prizes. Yeah. And people are now waiting to see how he gets on outside of the country. He's played there his whole career and managed there his whole career so far. So what he'll do next, let's see.
Yeah, we'll be interested when that spotlight comes on him. And the one thing I did want to sort of pick your brains on, because it's always intriguing. I mean, the sporting director, the technical side in Holland is far different to what you see in the Premier League. People are used, as you know, in the Premier League to an all-encompassing head coach, quite often a manager who has that power. Whereas we know in Holland, it's very much that the technical director, the sporting directors are quite prominent, you know, quite often outspoken, we see as well at the same time. Do you think that will actually be an advantage for him? Because the suggestions are, if he comes into Liverpool, it'll be the likes of Michael Edwards, Richard Hughes, the sporting director, will take care of the recruitment, and Slot will be focused on sort of managing the team, coaching the team. But he's used to that setup more coming from Holland, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. The players they've acquired from South America are admittedly very little to do with Slot. They get scouted. They have these technical directors that do that work. They go out to the countries and scout them, meet the players, sign them, and then it's up to Slot to do the best with them. And that's always been the way. Same for when they're scouted from Scandinavia, RZ and Feyenoord. They're not his players. I think he's had the same one or two, to be fair to him. But yeah, you are right that this is very familiar for him.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And I suppose people, whenever a manager leaves a club, people do sometimes call it lazy punditry, but they start to think, who could they bring with them, players that are at their club? So I suppose, and again, it's difficult to make an assessment, but people were looking the talents, and we've heard the names, and you're going to have to give me a bit of leeway on the pronunciation here, but think Mats Wifa, Jimenez, the forward, there's been quite a few. Is there any players that you look at Feyenoord and think they could make the leap, even if it's, you know, a Premier League club or two Liverpool, who could follow him at all? Or do you think that might be a bit of a too big a jump, shall we say?
I think there are some players in the Dutch League that can make the jump. There aren't many that can go straight to the top of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Though, without speaking about what Liverpool need, just in terms of final players and their quality, Quinchelly Hartman, their left back, he's a young talent and is going to become the new Netherlands left back very soon. We'll hopefully be able to hold that down for a prolonged period of time. Very attacking left back, but also tenacious, great tackler, those kinds of things. You've got Wifa, like you said, in midfield. Not sure if he can make that massive jump, but he did already do it from the bottom of the Eredivisie to the top in one go. Jimenez, yeah, Mexican striker. I feel like his season's been curtailed a little bit by fatigue, but I think him on top of his game, he is a classy striker. Quentin Timber is another one that I quite admire sometimes. I think that the way he's recovered from long-term injuries his career and has been able to bounce back, do so well with Feyenoord, I think he could make a jump to the Premier League. Some similarities to Ryan Gravenberch, but not quite the same. Timber's more box-to-box, good quality on the ball. Yeah, I really like him. I'd love to see him in the Premier League.
We'll be interesting to see if any do come across to him, or like you say, even into the league. And the final question, and again, because we don't often get sort of your time with Dutch football experts, there is a Euros, as you know, coming up round the corner. What is the expectation from sort of the Holland public, the Holland media? Do you think that there is an expectation that where they are, they could go all the way, or a good performance? How do you think they see it?
Well, on Football Dania, the podcast I do, we've been talking about it a lot. We're getting really excited. There's also that lowered expectation a little bit, because we always get worried when we haven't got like a top Dutch coach at the minute. We'd love Arne Slot to be the manager. To be fair, I think we'd even take an Erik ten Hag at the moment. I know he's had a bad time in England. Arne Slot is a level above what ten Hag can offer in my view, but just someone that has been successful. Ronald Koeman's had his moments, but sometimes a little one dimensional. Want to see a bit more from him. Yeah, we'd love to see Slot coming in and just playing some great attacking football, but the needs at the moment of the squad, we've got brilliant defenders. We're playing five at the back. I'd love to see us go far in the Euros. I know when we get to June, I'll be thinking, yeah, we're dark horses. Like we thought when Van Gaal was a manager, got to the quarters of the World Cup. But yeah, I hope it's a great tournament nonetheless, and get to the knockouts, see where we go from there. But yeah, quite confident we can do something. Got a great defence, and when Memphis Depay is on fire, we have a good team.
It is interesting, and I kind of lied there. I'll give one more, because I think it is important. Liverpool fans want to get this. We adore our captain Virgil van Dijk, as you know. He is our talisman leader. The one thing that we see is obviously captain of Holland, but, and you'll know this far better than me, quite often he seems to be the end of criticism publicly, and it tends to be a lot from former players. And you'll know the names like Van der Vaart, Van Basten, whoever it is. Is it because of the expectation on him? Do you think it is maybe an element of underperforming at international level, or is it a bit harsh the way it comes out?
I felt like whenever he was going for that rough patch a year or so ago, I was critical of him, but I never thought he should be out the side. There are plenty of strong defenders as well, world-class defenders the Netherlands have. But I never want to take him out. It's just like, how can we get the best out of him? And Koeman, to be fair to him, has been good at that. He has got the best out of Van Dijk again, in that he just demands more out of him than anybody else. He has been playing exceptionally well in recent times, and that's one of the reasons why I kind of fancy the Netherlands a little bit at the Euros. Van Dijk's back in form and has been superb for the Netherlands.
Wow. It will be interesting to see the Euros, Arne Slot, Liverpool, and what will happen in the summer. So I know you're a very busy man, but all it really leaves me to say is, Michael, thank you for your time. Thank you for a quick bit of insight. It is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, you're very welcome. If you want to check us out, we do Dutch football and English language, Football Adania.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you follow on Twitter, guys. Have a look at the website. No doubts about it at all.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I'm delighted, ecstatic to welcome respected Netherlands football correspondent, ESPN Netherlands commentator, Steve Davis. Steve, how are we?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. Looking forward to this because it's an interesting character from what I'm reading, Arne Slot, and I'm not going to pretend for one second I'm a Dutch football expert. A lot of our listeners, subscribers are keen to sort of get that insight, so we've got plenty of questions for you as well. The first one, Steve, is naturally Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool head coach, a personality, a well-known football figure. So people almost are intrigued to know about Arne Slot. Like, how would you describe his personality? How would you describe him as a person, so to speak?
I think one thing that I will say is that he's not somebody who shies away in the media. And that's something that's definitely shared with the majority of coaches that you do tend to come across that come out of the Netherlands. You know, they'll tell you quite frankly what's going on. They don't hide anything. They're not very coy about anything. And you know, so they're very frank speakers. And the same is true in the printed media over here in terms of critics in the Telegraph and things like that. You know, nobody pulls any punches. So for the way that what I would describe is, When you think about British football journalism being a bit of a cutthroat business, Dutch football journalism is every bit that and a little bit more. So for Arne Slot, I genuinely in that regard, I think he's had to being a relatively young coach. He's only 45 and relatively short amount of time as a head coach, certainly, be it with RZ Cambuur or for Feyenoord, he's had to develop that armor, if you like, quite significantly. And he's certainly got that. I mean, one of the things that I will say is that he's somebody who compares quite nicely with someone like a Jose Mourinho. Maybe it's not quite as over the top as Mourinho is, but there was quite a nice comparison earlier on in the season when Feyenoord dropped into the Europa League and they were actually facing Roma. And you know, Arne Slot certainly came across every bit the same sort of effervescent personality as Mourinho was. And he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't shy away from the criticism. He will protect his players, but he's very much a personality in himself, and he's quite a formidable one as well. But he's certainly accessible to the media. He doesn't take things to heart very much. He won't shut the media out as such. He's quite accessible in that regard. So I think he's probably quite well prepared for what the British media will throw at him, I'm sure.
Wow.
But yeah, no.
Sounds like his press conferences could be very interesting then to watch and see. And I suppose a bit of a light touch on it, but if you read about him, or for what we've been reading about him, the suggestion is very much that it's a 4-2-3-1 that he employs, and very much there's a focus on pressing from his team. Is that a fair assessment of his style, or would you describe it any differently at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just to touch on the statistics, over here, I don't know how well they've been relayed to yourselves, but in terms of his team winning the ball back in the final third of the field, if you like, the opposition's penalty area and an area that the most pressured areas, Feyenoord actually ranked number one in that regard, winning the ball back in the most dangerous area of the field. But also, in terms of a defensive capabilities, Feyenoord are actually the best defensive team in the league and the second best offensive team in the league. So if you compare that to Jurgen Klopp, for instance, it's all about the heavy metal football. It's all about the high pressing style, gegenpressing. You know, that style that Ralf Rangnick pioneered a number of years ago, and that the Red Bull philosophy obviously shone through and has extolled ever since. Was actually really a philosophy that was born out of a philosophy that Rinus Michels and Johan Cruyff came up, which was basically the crux of it is win the ball back as quickly as you possibly can, and turn it into an attacking situation as quick as you possibly can. Yeah. And that was how the Ajax side of the 70s was built. That's how the Barcelona side that came out of that was built. That's how Pep Guardiola was schooled. That's where tiki-taka came from. That's where gegenpressing came from. For Arne Slot, his philosophy is very much the same, whether it's the traditional 4-3-3, whether it's the more adaptive, modern take on that. But certainly, I think, in terms of Liverpool's recruitment, they've obviously looked for somebody who can continue the sort of style that Jurgen Klopp has employed, rather than sort of breaking with that and going down a different road. And so Arne Slot will very much continue what's gone before.
Interesting. And when you research him, he's good career. Obviously, he's won the league at Feyenoord. He's won the cup the other day. The only thing I wanted to sort of really ask you about was the Alkmaar circumstances, because it's almost seen as a bit of an asterisk against him when you read up, but obviously sometimes people have different takes. I mean, what did you make of that situation when he did move to Feyenoord and leave Alkmaar?
Yeah, well, if you kind of put it into context, prior to that, Arne Slot, whether it had been at Cambuur, where he was an assistant or jointly in charge, and then, he had a great cup run at Cambuur, almost got them promoted. Went to AZ. He was the assistant to John van den Brom for a number of years. They had some relative success for himself. Got to a cup final. Did well in the Eredivisie. Took over himself, and then obviously in the year that the Eredivisie actually got abandoned during COVID-19, many people thought that AZ ultimately would have won the league that year. They were only goal difference in second place from Ajax when the league was abandoned. So his stock was right up here. So when everything got resumed, I think there was a lot of speculation about his future. And perhaps that speculation kind of bled into the RZ thinking. They felt as though his eye was perhaps somewhere else. And obviously there was negotiations in the background with Feyenoord agreeing to join them. I think RZ were looking at the performance on the field and kind of felt that was a tipping point for them. So they decided to make a break. and allow Arnslot to go separate ways. And that was really what it was. I think the, you know, possibly there was a case of his head being turned by obviously a bigger club, if you like. And that was why it worked out the way it did. I don't think it's much of a surprise, really. I think you often find that, you know, when these sort of situations come along, you know, it's only human nature to kind of be intrigued by them and perhaps be altered by them. And the people around you often are altered by them, because one thing about Arne Slot is he's very much a man manager as well. His players very much respect him. And that's obviously been reflected in the success that he's had wherever he's gone. So it's only natural that the players would feel that unrest and results start to slip. And that was how that situation played out. But I think to put it into context as well, when the Eredivisie resumed, obviously the league was abandoned the previous season. When the Eredivisie resumed, obviously there wasn't anybody in the stadiums. It was very unusual times, and that probably coloured the situation as well. Right. But I don't think it reflects badly necessarily on a slot or RZ or Feyenoord. It's just things often happen where it happens with players as well. You know, when there's a big move in the offing, their eye goes off the ball, their form goes out the window, and here we are.
Yeah, you're right. There's a reality to that situation, isn't there? And I suppose looking at the situation, last year Feyenoord was sensational. They won the league. This season, they are a few points behind PSV at the top. When you're looking at Slot and Feyenoord's performance this season, do you think it is a case of they're being unfairly measured against what they did last year, or is it about what you'd expect from them?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Well, I mean, I've been covering Dutch football for over here for about 10 years. And in that time, I mean, one thing that you learn about Feyenoord is that they are an enigma of a football club. Whereas you have your periods of domination from Ajax, from PSV, Feyenoord's league victories and trophy successes are kind of a bit more sporadic. But when they happen, they're thoroughly celebrated. Mm-hmm. You could argue that Feyenoord is actually one of the probably the biggest supported club in the Netherlands from people who actually live in the country. Mm. But I think, as the likes of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will tell you as well, it's not a club that, unfortunately, you can string two title-winning seasons back-to-back very easily. You can certainly win some trophies over the course of time, but consistency is not something that Feyenoord tend to have ever done particularly well. Obviously, if you look at the seasons that Arne Slot's been in charge, you know, you get to the final of the inaugural Conference League, you win the Eredivisie the second season, you win the Cambuur Beker this season. Success has been there all the way through. And if you look at the squad that he's done that with, you know, it's a relatively young squad mixed in with players that have, you know, real rough diamonds. You know, this isn't a team that, if you look at PSV, for example, they've had the financial muscle and the backing to go out and bring back many players who have real pedigree, and then mix that in with some really good young players. That's not something that Feyenoord have ever really been able to do, despite the fact that, you know, they get the crowds they do, they have the sponsorship they do, they have a huge stadium, which is perhaps, while atmospheric, is a bit behind the times. Their financial situation is, while it's better than it certainly was a few years ago, is nowhere near where Ajax is, where PSV is. So for Arne Slot in particular, he's had to operate very much on a budget, and which is to his credit as well. But the football club themselves operate in those realities as well. So if the other aspect of it as well, as many Dutch clubs will find as well, like coming off the back of a really successful season, you have that European season. And for Feyenoord, I think the real focus for them this season, and it's always been after they win the league, is the Champions League. They want to do well, and they put all of their energies into that. And they did this year. They did very, very well, gave a great account of themselves, just missed out on that qualification, dropped into the Europa League. But that was really their focus. And then what you did tend to find is that backing up from those European nights, those big atmospheric nights, you didn't get that consistency of performance. Yeah. You've been losing, you're putting in poor performances against Volendam at home, which, you know, obviously wouldn't have happened a year ago because there wasn't those distractions. And you also factor in the fact that this is a very young side. So anybody who's worked with young players will know you don't get the same performance two games in a row from young players. And if you do, they're something special. Mm. So I think that there's very much been a combination of that. And then add to the fact that PSV have been nigh on invincible this year, in all truth, and they have a very, very strong squad, which they've put together this year. So I don't think that the fact that the gap that exists does Feyenoord justice, really. I think that they've been better than probably what the league suggests. Mm. But PSV have been incredibly strong this year, and that's down to a number of other factors, which certainly at this point in time, Feyenoord really can't compete with. So,
yeah, and it makes sense, like you said, if they're overperforming their budget and what's expected from them. And I suppose I am intrigued to know about a little bit of the setup at Feyenoord, because with Slot coming across to Liverpool, there's the expectation that Michael Edwards, Richard Hughes, the sporting director side, they'll take care of transfers, where Slot's remit will very much be the first team, the coach and the development of youngsters, like you say as well. Is that the same style set up at Feyenoord, or could it be a bit of a challenge for him at all if he does have less say or anything like that at all?
No, I mean, one thing that I certainly found covering Dutch football, coming away from covering football in the UK, was that the UK certainly and England in particular was very much behind the times in terms of setup. Yeah. If you talk about a technical director, a director of football, if you like, that's just the standard thing here in the Netherlands. Yeah. You know, the coach is the coach. The coach works with the players and selects the team. And coaches the side is responsible for results. Recruitment is a completely different animal here, and in terms of contracts, negotiations, all those sort of things. And the technical directors, directors of football, are far more in the public eye here than they are in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, certainly from my experience of it, that when I came away from covering football in the UK, I couldn't name some of these people if technical directors existed who knew who they were, you know, who knew what they did. But certainly here, it's very much it's normal. And at Feyenoord, you've got Dennis De Closer, you've got Jelle Hoos, who are both technical directors, if you like, in charge of the scouting, oversee the scouting system. Just in terms of a scouting system, just to give you an idea of how far-reaching the scouting system is, just at Feyenoord, you've got 10 individuals who are part of that first team scouting system.
Wow.
That will search far and wide for those rough diamonds that we talked about earlier on. Mm. If you talk about the youth setup, I mean, obviously the Netherlands leads the world in youth development. And I stand by that, you know, even now people talk about, you know, you Spain and Germany and even in the UK. But, you know, the Netherlands, until you've seen an academy system rolled out to the extent that you see at the two comps with Feyenoord or at PSV and certainly at Feyenoord as well, it's quite something, you know. It is quite something. And, you know, just in terms of Feyenoord's youth scouting, you're talking 15 to 20 individuals who oversee that and are responsible for that. So how players find their way into the system and then ultimately to the first team and to work with the first team coach is very much a very integrated process. And certainly the coach has a say, but the ultimate say in terms of contract negotiations, in terms of wages, in terms of whether a player stays or goes, is very much out of their hands. So for moving forward for Arne Slot, it would be a system that he's familiar with. He's not going to go in there and demand that he has sole control of anything. And to be honest, the world's moving away from the manager, the old school manager, if you like, being in charge of all those things. Your Barry Fry, who sits down and basically tells everybody how much you're going to be paid, what's your fancy, son, why don't you come over here and play for this? You know, those and all those deadline day deals that you used to get back in the day. That's not the way that the world works in the Netherlands, and it's probably not the way the world's going to work in the future either. There's far too many other cogs in the system, if you like, but that's not something that Arne Slot will be bothered about. You know, he's simply bothered about first team matters. But one thing that he probably will be, you know, familiar with, and something that will be integrated certainly, will be that there's a consistency through the youth system in terms of styles of play, so that you know that when you get to that first team level, what's expected of a fullback when they come into the youth system is still what's expected from a fullback when you get into the first team. And that education is there from the grassroots right the way through. But that's something that, you know, is instilled in all players to a great degree in the Netherlands. So you get a real sort of footballing education and an intelligence of young players over here. So, you know, they're, it stands them in really good stead for moving forward in their careers. It also makes them quite adaptable as well, which you often find with Dutch players that they, you know, they may come into someone like Jorginho Wijnaldum, for instance. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege to see him at the start of his career, and then, you know, certainly when he was at Liverpool, he was playing a completely different position to the Jorginho Wijnaldum that I knew, but he was doing a great job with it, you know. But that's his footballing intelligence and being educated in the right way, you know.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.